Good afternoon. We are just sitting in here waiting for the Lord to just allow us to speak.
You have to understand, we were like, okay, Lord, just take it. Whatever we say, just use us, despite us. Well, right. We ended last time on making disciples and the test of Satan coming at Jesus and challenging his identity. And that God sent him into the wilderness, knowing that he would be tempted, knowing he'd be hungry, you know, knowing what was going to happen, because this is Jesus's way of demonstrating his identity with us. Mm-hmm. The temptations in the wilderness is so that we can identify with him. He did have temptations that were difficult for him to deal with, and his identity in God was challenged. And so
why would we think we wouldn't be challenged?
Right.
Jesus was. Of course we are.
I have no idea, but yeah. We do.
We do think that.
And we think that we're not going to be lied to.
Yeah.
We think that those that speak Scripture to us are going to speak Scripture in wholeness. Mm. But it's not necessarily so, because Satan did not speak Scripture in wholeness, and that's part of what we'll cover in the next few weeks. And so in order to get us prepared, you guys need to know that we're looking at Matthew 4, 1 through 11. It's the temptation of Jesus. And what we're going to do is I'm really wanting to challenge my friends, my beloveds, Shelley and Sandy and Tanya. They're all looking at me like, kill Tara.
We're liking like,
if
you do it.
If you think you are the daughter of God.
That's right.
No.
There's something. Why is it we're so afraid to tell God's word in our own words? I'm not asking for perfection. I am not asking for verbatim. I'm just asking that we get so comfortable that
telling
when it comes opportunity that we're not afraid. And so what we'll do is we're going to do this like on, you know, I've never even watched the game show, so it's kind of funny of me to make this reference. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? They have a lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I do at the Open Door Mission. I'm like, don't be afraid.
Oh, good.
As you start telling, and if you forget something, go, lifeline, and then somebody in the group will help, okay? And because I want us to model for those that are listening, we can do this.
And we're going to model that, right. You know, you can make mistakes, because we will.
And because I do. Sandy, were you there the day, was it a week ago Friday? I totally brain burped as I was telling the Bible story. And I'm talking, and then I look at the crowd and I went, I don't remember. I don't even know what story I'm on. Just a second. And I had to stand there for about 30 seconds. Oh, okay. And then I went back to the story, because that's real life. That's just what happens, okay? So Tanya is going to give us Matthew 4, 1 through 11, to the best of her ability in her own words. Just tell us what happened.
Okay. So this is right after Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And the scriptures go on to tell us that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And while he was there for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted. And Jesus was very hungry. Satan came to Jesus and said, if you are God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus responded to Satan by saying, it is written in the scripture that man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Satan looked at Jesus and he took him to Jerusalem and stood on the highest point of the temple. And Satan said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written in your scripture that he will command his angels concerning you, and that they will lift you up in their hands so that you won't strike your foot against any stone. Jesus answered Satan by saying, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Satan then took Jesus to the highest point on the mountain and showed Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And Satan said to Jesus, I will give you all of this if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him alone. Satan left Jesus, and the angels came by his side to minister to him.
Mm. I love God's word. And you know what's funny, Tanya, is your Canadian accent was there.
It doesn't show up a lot, but it was there.
Stone. Say stone.
No, I'm not going to be able to say it. Stone.
Your Canadian accent was there. I love it. I love it when your accent comes out.
That's funny.
Okay, so here we have Jesus being tempted. Last time we were examining how Satan went after immediately challenging Jesus's identity. The next thing I want to ask you is, what do you learn about Satan from this passage? What is revealed about Satan? When you think through all the different things, the way he challenged Jesus about his need for food, he challenged Jesus about going to the temple to the highest point and testing God. He challenged Jesus, taking him to the highest point in the mountain and bowing down to worship him. What does this tell you about Satan? What do you learn about Satan from that?
Well, I think Shelley said he's relentless.
Mm-hmm, that's a good word.
And well, also, he's not, he knows Scripture. Yeah. He uses Scripture.
Yeah. It's like fighting Scripture with Scripture is the thing that came to my mind. But
he twists it.
Yeah. He twists it.
But he kind of, it's like from different angles, because it's like, you know, I'll give you this. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, first it's like the if, and, you know, and then it's whatever that next one was.
Yeah.
Lifeline.
In the temple. And so it starts with food, and then it starts with the temple, and then it goes to the mountain.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that, you know, too, it's like I kept saying, like, we didn't talk about it last time, but it's like, you know, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights isn't a small thing.
No.
And I mean, when I did a fast last year, you know, it was like, it was very interesting, because it was really the first time that I actually really, I gave up, like, I didn't really fast, but I did. I fasted. I mean, because some people did like a, you know, like a juice fast, and I was like, oh, I need food, you know. And so in my way, I gave up like all carbs. I mean, even like the legumes and, you know, all that stuff. So it was like meat, vegetables, protein. I mean, meat, fruit. What am I saying? Fruit, vegetables, and meat. There we go. And that's what I, you know, but it was like very interesting still what happened in my body by giving that up. So, I mean, to actually even, that was like 21 days. This was twice the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he had fruit, vegetable, and meat.
No. Nothing. So he's at a point of his, like, extreme weakness.
And right. So the first thing he tempts us with is
something that's very plausible. I mean, if you think about it, just something that is a necessity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Food and water is a necessity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not very often that we will think of Satan bringing what is a necessity as a temptation. Hmm.
You know what, though? We just got done studying some of this in my class, and it's really interesting. Like the food addictions.
Mm-hmm.
And just the, you know, it's not something that you can't do without.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Necessity.
It becomes it can be like a satisfier for people, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Sure. Yeah. But think on that, a necessity.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be, I mean, basics, food and water.
That's a necessity. Mm-hmm.
That can go with touch. That can go with just, you know, basic words of encouragement where it's a necessity. We make it to where if I'm not encouraged, we can take anything that could be viewed as a basic need, and it can quickly be used on the most basic level as a temptation. Sandy, you said something that was very profound, and I want us to revisit this because you said it, and then we went on, and I want us to catch it because it fits in perfectly. As you were looking at Satan, you said it gets bigger.
It does get bigger. I mean, he started, you know, with the food. He moved to, like, the mountain, the holy city. Then he moved up to the tallest, and then he showed him all this he would give him.
Right.
You know, it was just like the temptation got bigger and bigger and bigger.
And this morning, as I was praying through this passage, that was hitting me quite profoundly in that how, okay, it starts most basic level.
Mm-hmm. Small.
Food, water, whatever it is that I need. And then, so those are the basic things that I could just say, Tara, tempted. But then, if we withstand those temptations, if we can withstand that, because if we fall prey there, guess what? He doesn't need to deal with us anymore. No. It's we're already fallen.
We're done deal.
Okay? Mm-hmm. If we can withstand the test of that which is our needs, then it goes to the next level. All right, Satan took Jesus to the highest point in Jerusalem, which is the temple. Why do you think he took him to the highest point of the temple? Why the temple? What is so profound about that?
Does it have to do with, like, 'cause like that would be like the place of
holy worship?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes. It does. And not only that, the priest would go to this highest point and he would blow the horn to awaken the city first thing in the morning. This is the place that it's a place of prestige.
Right.
It's a place of everybody in the city can see and know.
Okay, so we're dealing with pride here.
So do you see how we went from basics of food and water, that which is the basic, to our social level. Okay, do you see how? And so it's moving up the stratum of
is it a pride?
Yeah, is it is pride? Totally being recognized. You could also put in the category of popularity, peer relational.
We all love that, don't we?
Okay, do you see
fame?
Yeah, notoriety, kind of owl, right? Okay, so basic food, water. Now we're talking popularity. And then the next place Satan takes Jesus is to where? It's the highest point of
the mountain.
Kingdom. The kingdom. The mountain. The world. So
it's like the top of the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basics, food, water, and then popularity within the city. But that's not enough. If I can get the fame in my city, then why not the whole world? Do you see how it gets bigger and bigger? And temptation, as we counter it, Satan will bring it greater. And I can remember reading when I was younger of famous theologians, and one of my favorites was like Andrew Murray and even Spurgeon. And they will have statements where they will say that as they grew closer to God, they found they dealt more with temptation than they ever did before. It became an increase because the closer they were drawing to God, the greater impact they were going to have, the more the enemy of God was after them in order to make them fall so that they could not do the walk that God has placed before them. And so in a way, it was their testing. So as a test comes, Satan's coming at Jesus. What does a test reveal about what's inside Jesus? What does it reveal is inside Jesus?
It's his strength.
The word of God.
The word of God.
It's the love. It's the love of the Father.
Okay.
It's the commitment.
Obedience. Commitment. Oh, these are great. You guys, these are great. All right, how would you define these if we were to say, okay, this person's got commitment and love and obedience and a willfulness to do that which is of God? Would you call that a person's character? Okay, so as the testing happens, what is it revealing?
Your character.
Their character. Mm-hmm.
Okay, as the testing happens to me.
Ooh.
What is it revealing?
Your values.
Sure. Your values, your beliefs.
Deep
convictions, what I stand on. And we know based on what Jesus said, he countered every temptation with the word of God. Where was his value?
In God.
In the word. In the word. Okay, what does that mean for us? Think on temptations are coming, whether it's basics, food, water, necessity, encouragement, peer pressure, popularity, notoriety, fame, prestige.
We need to use the word. We need to be in the word.
We have to counter it.
Always.
Yes.
Can I said go to scripture.
And it's clear that that's what we need to do. Do you see how the layering of how this reveals what is inside? And that the purpose, the reason why the Spirit of God, we know because the Word of God makes that clear to us, God allowed this to happen so that we could see how Christ relates to God, how Christ relates with Satan, and how we can relate to him
as he dealt with temptation and how we need to deal with temptation. Mm-hmm. All right, now on a more practical level, if it worked for Jesus, will it work for us?
Yes.
Yes.
Seriously? Come on. It's not
it
easy.
It will work if we do it.
If we do it. Yeah. We're back to application.
It's very easy to say yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to tell somebody this.
Oh. Yes. It's very easy.
But doing it is something else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a darkness that comes, mm-hmm. you know, a blinding. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be prepared for that. He just...
Because you just feel that brings in darkness, the doubt. Too. Yeah, you feel it. Coming over you.
The testing of that identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when my identity test comes in, my identity test is coming. My identity needs to, as a child of God, a disciple of Jesus, needs to be that it's defined by Jesus. If I'm allowing my identity to be defined by anything other than what the Word of God says, I'm listening to a lie.
Mm-hmm.
To Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go back into what our thought processes are and counter to make sure it's the Word of God and the wholeness of the Word of God. And next time we'll actually deal with the fact that Satan twisted the Word and stuff, but there's not enough time for us to do that. And so I'm wanting us to get the character side. The first week we looked at the identity side. We have to have the identity solidified in order for the character to be what it needs to be so that it can withstand the test. And the only way that can happen is if we do what Sandy said, and that's if we give the Word. Okay? And so as we're making our disciples, as we are discipling people to be like Jesus, how would you say that should look based on this passage? We have 1 minute. What would it look like?
We need to have them be prepared.
Okay.
For the temptation.
It's so good. You're exactly right. Shelley, how am I going to do that? What am I going to do? How am I going to prepare them?
Well, we can't do it. The only thing that we can do, I guess, is just to show them the Word and, you know, maybe even in practical terms, show them particular passages that can maybe help them during, you know, particular struggles.
And I think our experience, too. We need to use our experience.
Our testimonies are huge, but
Going back to the Word is the key.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Word is the key. And making sure that we are rightly dividing the Word in truth.
Right.
So whatever experience we might have,
show them the scriptures,
it needs to
help.
Be through the Word of
right.
God.
And that's
tested.
What I meant.
Yes, I know
use
you did. I know you did.
And
I know you did.
Scripture.
But we just need to make sure that that's the truth. All right, so come back next week because we're going to continue this on what it means to be a disciple. God bless. Mm-hmm.